Today is 6 September 2020, day 164 of the national lockdown. Friends, good morning. Welcome to this yet another virtual service. Wow, we are in spring. Time flies, but we thank God to be alive. Welcome, as I said, to this service, and I can't wait for when we can gather together in physical worship in church. And with that being said, on to our notices, and we are gradually looking at how we can open the church and gather in physical worship. You will be notified of what, when, and how. But I must say that we will make sure that we strictly adhere to the regulations, follow all protocols, safety, hygiene, precautions, all that in place. And also to adhere to the synod compliance that has been put in place for us as a church. Secondly, friends, thanks so much for your financial support. All your tithes, your offerings, your gifts, and your donations, those are greatly appreciated. They have indeed helped to continue the life, the mission life of the society. May God bless you. Thirdly, thanks so much for your prayers. Different people are finding themselves faced with different challenges and different spaces in life currently, and your prayers have enabled them to stand. And I must note that our superintendent, the Reverend Dukling, has also expressed thanks for your prayer support. And I also wish to personally extend a word of gratitude for your prayers during our bereavement as a family. You have helped us a great deal. It hasn't been easy. And also during my time of sickness, you've kept us going, and the grace of God has seen us through. We're taking it one day at a time. Thank you so much. May God bless you. On to birthdays. We have a marathon of birthdays. If it wasn't for lockdown, I'm sure we'd have a party after the service and maybe take it also to next week. So on the 7th, we have Johan Jackson Jr., Liam Gregson, Hanstar Penzon, Mel Govind. On the 8th, we have Tasha Manzidiba, Cheryl Swartz. On the 9th is Lebu Max, Neo Keopile Motsamai. On the 10th, we've got Paulina Lidingwana, Trish Winterburn, Vicky James, and Sean Salom. On the 11th is Christy Haldanais, Jeremil Damons, D-A-M-O-N-S. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong. And then Christina Mukwiti. And then on the 12th, you have Samson Mutsindi and Rejoice Sotole. Friends, you are unique, special, and loved. Never forget that. May you have a wonderful time as you celebrate. Remember regulations and protocols? Yes. May God bless you. And we continue with our call to worship. O Lord, let my soul rise up to meet you as the day rises to meet the sun. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us bow down and bend the knee. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Friends, we join together the Epworth Singers as they sing hymn 314. Come, let us sing of a wonderful love. Let us pray. Creator God, who not only sets times and seasons, but also kings and kingdoms, which you also depose, we come to you this morning, giving you thanks and praise. Thank you for the blessing of being alive this morning and at this time. We see and experience a new season, one of hope and renewal. We are grateful that though times change, you, our God, remain the same. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are a faithful God. You are a good, good Father. Thank you, Lord, for carrying each and every one of us on eagle's wings during the time of this pandemic. We have missed so much on what we planned. We lost on opportunities of employment. Some got retrenched, Lord. Some have lost homes, and some have lost property. Some of us, Lord, have battled while others continue to battle, others alone with sickness and disease. Some of us have lost loved ones. And unfortunately, some have even lost hope, Lord. Yet you have kept us a remnant for yourself. Habakkuk says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. You see, Lord, we do not worship you. We do not praise you. We do not serve you because of what is happening around us. Yes, situations and circumstances overwhelm us at times, but what keeps us standing, what keeps us going, is knowing that you are God and that your promise to never leave nor forsake us is true for all times. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for opportunities such as this. Though separated by distance and space, yet we are able to come together in worship. Just to hear your word one more time as like water to a thirsty soul. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, we continue with our prayers, with the prayer of confession. Loving God, we sin and you forgive us. We make wrong turns. You reveal the right path. We fall down and you help us up. You call us to spread your name, to be kind to the others, to look after the creation, and to care for children and all those in need. However, we're not very good at any of it. Time and time again, we come to you seeking forgiveness, for we know that you are all around us, and we know that you love us. And so, Father, we pray that you grant us the strength and the ability to love you and our neighbors as ourselves. Help us to see you in our everyday and to give us the will to read your word into the brokenness of this world. We are grateful for you. We are sorry for the wrong we do. Forgive us our sins. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your promise. By grace, you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one might boast. Lord, thank you for forgiving us in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, we join together as we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, we find our scripture reading in Paul's epistle to Romans chapter 13, and we are reading verses 8 to 10. And I'm reading from the New International Version. It reads as follows. Let no death remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, And whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Friends, this morning I wish to briefly reflect on the text that is before us. Paul writes to a Roman Christian community. In the first 11 chapters of this epistle, he deals with Christian doctrines, topics such as sin, the law, grace, righteousness, life in the Spirit, and so on and so on. And then beginning in chapter 12, Paul gives practical instructions showing how there can be unity between what we believe and how we can put that into practice. In the passage we've read, we learn of one of the ways in which we put our faith into practice, that is love. I wish, therefore, to reflect on the theme, the obligation to love, and the 3 points. What is love? Love and the law, and love and life. Love means different things to and for different people. For some, love means, you know, being lavished with gifts, taken to the latest restaurants in town, and being happy with each other, you know, no conflicts, no arguments, nothing, just love, you know, happiness all the time. That is what love means. But for others, love means being appreciated, being respected, means commitment, loyalty. Even if there is nothing to prove, nothing to show. But I find that the English language is rather limited when it comes to love. Greek has quite a number of words when it refers to love. You have storge, that is familiar love, that refers to familiar love. You have eros, referring to sexual love. And you also have phileo, that is brotherly love. And then you have agape, that is sacrificial love, the highest form of love, where the other devotes self for the well-being of the other. That is the kind of love that God loves us with. And so when you look in chapter 13, verses 1 to 7, you see Paul speaking about the obligation that people and, as I said, the Christians that he was writing to have towards their authorities. Remember, Paul wrote at a time when Christians were suspected of being disobedient to the authorities of the time. And because of their religious practices, you know, worshipping God and not God's, and not bowing to the religion of the time, which was emperor worship. And so because of that, they were not liked by the people and also by the authorities. That is why, according to history, in AD 64, Nero caused the Christians to become the scapegoats for the fire that he set, that he began. And as a result, the persecution against Christians intensified. And so Paul in verses 1 to 7 speaks about the respect, about the taxes that they ought to pay, the respect that they ought to show to the leaders, and also the honor that they ought to give to those who deserved honor. But now he moves to depths and says, owe nobody nothing but love. And by this, it does not mean that Christians ought not to pay their debts, because we know nobody has enough cash to like buy a car or a house cash. Somehow you need to go for finances. But then again, that financial obligation comes to an end. But Paul speaks about an ongoing debt. That is the debt to love. And I believe that one, if they truly love, can say that I've now come to the end of love. I know some people have a different opinion regards to exactly just what I've just said, but go with me. God is love. God is our biggest example of love. God loved us whilst we were sinners, in that God gave of self and became human so that we could be saved. Now, that is love. Sacrificing self in order for the other to live. Jesus teaches us, as he taught his disciples, that a new commandment I leave with you, that you love one another, so that the world may know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Jesus is not saying that by your gifts or by your talents, by how big your church is, by how beautiful your sanctuary is, but says by loving one another, they will know that you are my disciples. Paul says that she or he who loves the other has fulfilled the law. And he quotes from the commandments, four of the commandments that have to do with neighbors. Because when you look in the commandments, other commandments have to do with God, how one relates to God, how one honors and worships God. But these ones, they look to how one treats the other. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not covet. Do not steal. Although I've not put them in the order that he puts them. But what Paul says is that whatever other commandments they are summed up in one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. You'll remember that while Jesus was on earth, he taught about kingdom principles, and of which love in action is one of them. And one of the law aspects, the Bible tells us that he tested Jesus by asking, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus in his response said that, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two. And unfortunately, just as in Jesus' times, where they asked, who is my neighbor? Remember, they asked to continue to ask to say that, who is my neighbor? And Jesus gave a parable of a priest who was on the way to Jerusalem and came upon a man who had fallen into the hands of criminals and looked the other way and could not assist. And a Levite, same traveling in the same journey, could not defile himself. Although he was not going up to Jerusalem, but down to Jericho, but could not. And Jesus says that another person who was traveling down, got down from his own donkey and nursed him and put him and took him in an inn and told the innkeeper to say that, look after him, I'll pay you for whatever it costs you. And eventually Jesus asked, who of these was his neighbor? And the expert said, the one who had mercy on him. And so even today, we still find the question being asked, but who is my neighbor? Because we tend to limit our neighbors to our cliques, to our groups, those who are of the same kind. But as Christians, we are challenged to extend, to go beyond, because every human being we encounter is our neighbor. When you read Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 to 18, you see how the scope of neighbors is expanded. In some instances, it says that when you harvest, leave the edges for the stranger and the alien. Do not defraud your neighbor. Do not steal from your neighbor. Do not withhold wages from your worker. And so you can therefore not say that my neighbor is one whom we are in the same level or of the same kind or the same group. And so, friends, when we love, when we seek the best for the other, and when we're not helping ourselves to what is set for helping the poor and the destitute, we fulfill the law. I really pray that as there are these allegations of acts of corruption as it pertains to the PPEs and all the COVID-19 funds, there are no Christians involved, because we cannot be the salt of the earth and at the same time be corrupt. Jesus says when salt loses its saltiness, it is of no use but to be thrown outside and trampled underfoot. Because when salt loses its saltiness, it loses its essence, its life. And life is about living. Physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, and otherwise. And so when I love someone, I desire to see them live. I do everything in my power to make sure that I do not harm them. Paul says love does no harm to its neighbor. Dare I say that when we love, when we protect, when we fight for the rights of the less fortunate, when we advocate for the rights of the other, we love life. But when we speak carelessly, anyhow, when we ignore injustice happening right in front of us, and when we oppress the other, we harm our neighbor. Love is not self-seeking, but love is giving. And by giving, I'm not referring to materialistic giving, but to give time and be with somebody who needs you at that time. To give a listening ear. And to give constructive criticism too. To give warning and advice. I know at times we fall into the trap that says that I do not want to hurt his or her feelings, so I'm just not going to say anything. Tell you what, if you see someone, if you see a neighbor going on a wrong path and you not warn them, you are harming them, you are contributing to their destruction. God says to Ezekiel, if I say to the wicked, you will die, and you, son of man, do not warn them, they will surely die, and you'll be accountable for their blood. But if you warn them and they do not listen, yes, they will die, but you yourself shall be saved. And so, friends, we are encouraged and warned to love life. It's an ongoing process to love the other. God is love. And if we believe what we say when we say that we have been made in God's image and likeness, we will love as God loves. And as the Bible says, you have been shown, O human being, what God requires of you, to love justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God. We will do so and strive for righteousness during our time so that people may experience Christ in us, the hope of glory in a corrupt world, but they will see what love is. May God help us. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we pray for your Holy Spirit to break through, to renew and to revive us, your church, to unleash new life. We pray for ministers of the gospel to be empowered to preach the good news without fear or favor. Help us as your community to walk uprightly and to stand for justice in all spheres of life. May your Spirit transform and boldly use us without limits, delays, or excuse to reach and make new disciples for Jesus Christ and to transform this world. We ask that your Spirit work through each one of us to raise dead to new life. Lord, we continue to pray for your servants who are frontline workers in the fight against COVID-19. Give them strength and courage in the face of fear and danger. Shield and protect them and bring their families safely home. You are refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Lord, we pray for those whom you have put in leadership. Let them serve you and your people in honesty, justice, and righteousness. Purge out fraud and corruption from all spheres of leadership. We pray for your peace as we continue to experience violence and crime in our communities. And sadly, at times, these violence acts are experienced from places of hope, from law enforcement officials who are supposed to protect the defenseless. Lord, bring an end to killing of innocent lives, children, women, men and farmers alike. Lord, we bring before your throne of grace those within and among us who are troubled in mind, body and soul. Heal and comfort the sick and the grieving. Grant that through your Spirit we may be your hands and feet and help the poor and homeless in their plight, so that through us they can experience your salvation. In the precious and holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Of blessing the offering. Lord, you have said in your word, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest will never cease. Thank you for the seed you continue to give us to plant with. At times it is not easy, but we stand on your promise that those who plant in tears will reap in joy. We bring these our tithes and offering to you, Lord, as per your word and promise. What an honor and blessing it is to serve and worship you in this manner. We long and trust for you, for a time when more avenues will be opened, where all your people will be able to bring you their gifts. Lord, give us the wisdom so that as these your gifts are brought into your house, we may use them for the extension of your kingdom. Bless these our offerings, we pray, In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing song is A New Commandment. Friends, I wish to leave you with the two last verses of the Saint Franciscan benediction that I once shared the other day. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer in pain, rejection, hunger, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and to turn their pain into joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in the world, so that you can do what others claim cannot be done, to bring justice and kindness to all our children and the poor. Let us join together as we say the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen. Friends, stay blessed. See you soon. Watch the space. As I indicated, you'll be informed of what, when, and how. Bless you.